From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies on the doctrine of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Morning and Evening by Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 119 and verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts. There are times when solitude is better than society, and silence is wiser than speech. We should be better Christians if we were more alone, waiting upon God, and gathering through meditation on His Word spiritual strength for labor in His service. We ought to muse upon the things of God, because we thus get the real nutriment out of them. Truth is something like the cluster of the vine. If we would have wine from it, we must bruise it. We must press and squeeze it many times. The bruiser's feet must come down joyfully upon the bunches, or else the juice will not flow. And they must well tread the grapes, or else much of the precious liquid will be wasted. So we must, by meditation, tread the clusters of truth, if we would get the wine of consolation therefrom. Our bodies are not supported merely by taking food into the mouth, but the process which really supplies the muscle and the nerve and the sinew and the bone is the process of digestion. It is by digestion that the outward food becomes assimilated with the inner life. Our souls are not nourished merely by listening a while to this and then to that and then to the other part of divine truth. Hearing, reading, marking, and learning all require inwardly digesting to complete their usefulness, and the inward digesting of the truth lies for the most part in meditating upon it. Why is it that some Christians, although they hear many sermons, make but slow advances in the divine life? Because they neglect their closets and do not thoughtfully meditate on God's Word. They love the wheat, but they do not grind it. They would have the corn, but they will not go forth into the fields to gather it. The fruit hangs upon the tree, but they will not pluck it. The water flows at their feet, but they will not stoop to drink it. From such folly deliver us, O Lord, and be this our resolve this morning. I will meditate in thy precepts.
As I read your holy word, help me see, Lord, help me learn. Holy Spirit, from its pages lead the way. Come and melt my stubborn will, make my heart and soul be still. As I read your word, may I heed it and obey. Like the first rays of morning light, it will pierce my darkest night, showing sins of doubt and fear within my heart. Showing self-confidence and pride, the rebel thoughts that plague my mind. then it brings cleansing hope that quiets my heart. So as we read your holy word, help us see, Lord, how us learn. Holy Spirit, from its pages lead the way. And let me see glimpses of truth you have for me. For in your word I find the truth that sets me free.
Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis, including Duncan Campbell's own account of that, as well as personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. To obtain your own copies of what happened at that time, just request the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
Recently, Dr. Cairns began a series of studies dealing with the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. In the current message entitled The Bible's First Lesson About the Spirit, Dr. Cairns has pointed out how the person and work of the Spirit are revealed in the Scriptures. Some of the proofs that the Holy Spirit is God are seen in the prominence given him in the Bible, as well as in the proper names ascribed to him. Then the Spirit's divine nature is shown in the various properties attributed to him, such as eternity and sovereignty. As Dr. Cairns is emphasizing, the Holy Spirit is recognized preeminently in his activity. The Spirit inspired the Holy Scriptures. He guides God's people in worship. It is the Spirit's work that draws men to Christ and applies the Savior's merits in the work of regeneration. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, the Bible's first lesson about the Spirit.
This Bible is the product of inspiration. It is the result of the mighty supernatural action of the Spirit of God in giving men a revelation, in causing them to write it down. Christians sometimes argue about how they did it. And there are great debates over mechanical methods of inspiration and dictation methods of inspiration and all the rest of it. I really am not terribly concerned to understand how God did it. All I know is that God did it. I personally have no trouble with God dictating his word to man. Professors of theology always throw up their hands in horror at that. But there are parts of the Bible that are clearly dictated. The Ten Commandments certainly were given first by the finger of God, but in their repetition they must have been dictated. There are certainly other parts of the Bible that God gave word for word. And whatever the method, the Bible is of God. Now let me tell you, that tells me something that in our folly we very often set aside. Now listen to it. If this is an inspired book, if it is different in its origin from every other book, then how come Christians are so foolish as to think that the Bible can be understood and criticized on the same ground as any other book? If this is a God-breathed book, and it is, then it's time we realize that it is only the same Spirit who breathed it, who can instruct us by it. And today let's learn this. While God can use our education, etc., as we get into the Bible, it is not primarily education that you need to understand the Bible. It is spiritual illumination. Now there's nothing wrong with learning Greek and Hebrew. There's nothing wrong with learning your own English language to make sure that you can do full justice to the words that you come across. There's nothing wrong in spending time in good books of Bible study and Bible theology. But having said all that, you can have all the tools. And these things are tools. But they will be absolutely useless to you until you are blessed by the Spirit's illumination, by that gracious act of the Holy Ghost. You see, when you come to any other book, you sit in judgment on the book. It doesn't matter how great the author is. I have read books by great authors, and I have shocked people by saying what I think about those authors. How I could ever dare to say something about such a great literary genius. Well, you see, genius or no genius, he's just a fallible man. And when I read his books, I sit in judgment on the book. But my friend, when I read the Bible sits on judgment on me. I am not judging the Bible. I am not placing my intellect above the Bible. Rather, I come to the Word of God and I submit my intellect, my heart, my feelings, my desires, my everything to the Spirit who gave the book. And that's the only way you're ever going to learn the Bible. The only way. When the Spirit of God illuminates your heart. I've often said this, and it would bear repetition, if you want a living proof of that, all you've got to do is go into any preacher's library or into any theological library, and you'll find books in the shelves that are full of the greatest human erudition. My, they are by men who are learned to their fingertips, but they're as blind as the proverbial bat when it comes to spiritual things. I have books in my shelves, and oh, they're very interesting to tell me what the root of Hebrew words and Greek words may be, and how these words were developed and used and all the rest of it. But when it comes to getting the meaning of the Word of God, man, you'd be in a bad shape if you were dependent on those things. There's not too much food for the soul in them. Why? Because learning is one thing. The illumination of the Spirit is quite another. We need His instruction. The Holy Spirit is active in worship according to the truth. In Exodus 31, in verse 3, we read that He filled Bezaliel. What for? For the building of the tabernacle. He filled him with the Spirit for that. The worship of the Church of Jesus Christ is not something that grows wild or is the product of the imagination of men. So many church services with their beautiful liturgies, etc., have all been built around the aesthetic notions of men. What men think will produce a result because of the beauty, etc. God help us to steer clear from that. As Presbyterians, we have a heritage of very severe and very simple and very strict forms of worship. It's why in a Presbyterian church, now it's not true in some of your modern Presbyterian apostate churches, but then they're not worthy of the name Christian, Presbyterian, Bible-believing, or anything else. They just deserve to be called apostates. But that's why in the old Presbyterian churches, and it's true in the old Baptist churches and in the old Methodist churches, the pulpit was always right where this one is, right in the middle at the front. When I go into a church and I see that they have an altar at the front, or they have a communion table at the front, and they have a pulpit stuck away over in the corner, man, you get a very clear graphic impression of what they think about the Word of God and what they think about preaching. They have elevated liturgy and form and ceremony to centrality in the church and the preaching of the Bible. That's just a thing that's way off on the side. Let me tell you, in Bible worship, the preaching of Jesus Christ is absolutely central. And everything else must bow to this. That's why when you come here, you'll not very often get a 30 or 40 minute music program. Now, sometimes we will give you a good cantata, and it will be scriptural enough to do your heart good. But when we have given you that, you better sit down again, because we're going to preach to you anyway. The music in this church is always for one purpose. Well, two purposes. First of all, to glorify God. That's what we want to do. And secondly, to aid the preaching of the Word. When you get to a church where the music gets in the way of the preaching of the Word, it doesn't matter how good it sounds, it's time to get rid of the music and get back to the Word. You see, the Holy Spirit directs the worship. It's a big study that I'm only going to mention. If you look at Luke chapter 4, the Holy Spirit filled the Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 14 and 18, you'll read of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in Christ. The Holy Spirit in the mediation of Christ. Do you ever stop to think that when Christ was born, it was by the operation of the Holy Spirit on the womb of the Virgin Mary? When Christ started out in His ministry, He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He received the Spirit without measure. When he went to be tempted, he was led of the Spirit. When he did his miracles, he was empowered by the Spirit. He himself said he did these by the Spirit of God. When he died, Hebrews 9:14, he offered himself by the eternal Spirit. When he rose again, it was by the power of the Spirit. The Spirit in the mediation of Christ. It's a very big study. And consequent upon that, you have the Spirit in applying the merits of Christ. You see, I don't want to try to be wise above measure here. But if Christ could only obtain redemption for us by the ministry of the Holy Spirit in Him, what makes people think that men can obtain that redemption in their own lives without the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit alone can apply Christ. For instance, who can regenerate? Only the Holy Ghost. Ezekiel 36:27. You've got a promise of the regeneration which the Spirit gives. A new heart. In John 3:5, the Lord Jesus spoke of the new birth as being born of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12:13, that new birth or that regeneration is called being baptized by the Spirit into the body of Jesus Christ. My friend, this is why I say in all our preaching, in all our witnessing, we need to be praying for the work of the Holy Ghost. Salvation is not just getting men to say the magic words of the sinner's prayer. Salvation is not just overcoming men with argument in order to get them to make a decision. Salvation is the work of the Holy Spirit, whereby He makes dead men come to life. And He imparts to them all the merits of Jesus Christ, applying the precious blood for their redemption. The Holy Spirit in regeneration. He also works in sanctification, conforming us to the image of Christ. He also works in giving the Christian assurance and stamping him with security. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who convinced me I was a sinner. It's only the Holy Spirit who can convince me that I'm a saint. And my security, is it my hold on Christ? No, sir. It is His hold on me. And how do I know He's got the hold of me? Because I am sealed by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1 and verse 13. This is our security. The Holy Ghost operates then to make Christians holy. He makes Christians sure. He gives them help, their assistance and guidance. I love the words of Romans 8:26. He helpeth our infirmities. The Holy Spirit helps us. There is assistance from the Spirit of God. There is empowerment from the Spirit of God. This comes out very clearly in the fact that He guides His people. Now, we don't want to be over mystical about this, but I want to tell you, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. And when a Christian is found daily in the Word of God, with his heart submitted to the Word of God, with his mind and will open to the Word of God, and with his cry to God by his Spirit to minister Christ to his heart, then the Holy Spirit of God will minister Christ, and the Holy Spirit will guide a Christian. Beware of that strange kind of guidance that comes just like a funny feeling from nowhere. Beware of that strange kind of guidance that Christians so often talk about. Well, I feel that the Lord is leading me to do this, and I feel that the Lord is leading me to do the other thing. And they feel so many things that the Lord is neither part nor not all. Now, the Lord can direct your feelings and all the rest of it, But remember, the Spirit works through the Word. He works through the Word. Let's go to the book. Let's ask the Lord to guide us there.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.